Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Around the World in 70 Days on CGMQ 88.9 FM, where I discuss important current events and their relationship to our local community. I'm your host, Rhiannon, and today I've selected several pieces of news, and I'll be discussing their connection and importance to the Eastern Townships. Let's get right into it. In some national news, Freeland tabled a relatively thin 280-page budget that is much more focused on a few key areas than the liberal budgets of recent past. The budget allocates only $31.2 billion in net new spending over the next 5 years, a fraction of the sums in recent past budgets. She said, and I quote, "Canada has a proud tradition of fiscal responsibility. It's my duty to maintain it, and I will." Here are the highlights of Finance Minister Chrystia Freeland and her second federal budget. For some home buying help, the budget promises to introduce tax-free savings accounts that would give first-time home buyers the chance to save money. Contributions would be tax-deductible, and withdrawals to buy a first home would not be taxed. The program is expected to provide $725 million in support over the next 5 years. They also highlighted some affordable housing benefits. The government is launching a new Housing Accelerator Fund worth $4 billion over the next 5 years to help municipalities speed up housing development. The goal is to create new housing units in the next 5 years, up to 100,000 new housing units. The budget also extends the Rapid Housing Initiative, promising $1.5 billion over 2 years to create at least 6,000 new housing units to help tackle homelessness. It also highlights dental care. Moving on a commitment in its confidence and supply agreement with the NDP, the government is promising $5.3 billion over the next 5 years and $1.7 billion each year after that for a national dental care program. It'll start with children under 12 years old this year and expand to cover Canadians under 18 years old, seniors, and people with disabilities in 2023. The program is to be fully implemented by 2025 and is limited to families with incomes of less than $90,000 a year. For those with an income of less than $70,000, no co-payments will be required. The budget also highlights defense and security. It will boost defense spending by $8 billion over the next 5 years, bringing Canada's defense budget to a projected 1.5% of GDP. This falls short of the 2% of GDP NATO has called on member nations to spend, especially since Russia's war on Ukraine began. But it includes $500 million to military aid to Ukraine in the total of $8 billion of defense. The budget also promises $875 million over 5 years to combat rising threats to cybersecurity and $100 million over 6 years to strengthen leadership, modernize the military justice system, and implement culture change in the Canadian Armed Forces. The budget also highlights environment and climate change. The budget offers $2.6 billion over the next 5 years to finance a new investment tax credit for businesses that spend money on carbon capture, utilization, and storage. The government also plans to extend incentives and expand eligibility for a program to entice more Canadians to buy electric cars. The government also plans to impose a sales mandate to ensure that at least 20% of new light-duty vehicle sales will be zero emission. It also highlights Indigenous reconciliation in the budget. It promises to spend an additional $11 billion over 6 years to support Indigenous children, families, communities, including $4 billion for housing and another $4 billion over 7 years to ensure access for First Nations children to health, social, and educational services. Nearly $400 million over 2 years will go to improve infrastructure on reserves, including especially those for water and wastewater infrastructure. The budget also sets aside $210 million to help communities document, locate, and memorialize burial sites at former residential schools. The money will also help the National Center for Truth and Reconciliation pay for a new building and assist with the complete disclosure of federal documents related to residential schools. The budget also sets aside over $5 million to allow the RCMP to assist in community-led investigations into burial sites at former residential schools. The budget also highlights diversity and inclusion. The budget promises $100 million over 5 years for a federal LGBTQ2+ action plan, $85 million more to support ongoing work on the anti-racism strategy, and $50 million to support Black-led and Black-serving community organizations. It also commits $15 million to support local journalism in underserved communities and to help radicalized and religious minority journalists present their experience and perspectives. These highlights are given thanks to the work done by CBC to outline the budget in layman's terms. I encourage you to reflect on your own opinions of what this may mean for future years and the kinds of change you'd like to see that may be aided by future federal budgets. I also want to bring your attention to a slightly quirky Canadian tradition for finance ministers to buy new shoes in a sort of way to announce how the spending will be for that budget. This year, Chrystia Freeland bought new heels from the Canadian company Lindeval. Now, let's get into some local news. I do want to preface this by saying that this week I'll be discussing sensitive topics that may be triggering for some. I'll be discussing the topics of sexual assault and violence, so please feel free to do what makes you comfortable, even if that may mean switching channels for a few. This week I'll be discussing the connection between the reopening of bars and restaurants with the increase in requests for rape kits, with highlights on the resources available to all who need it locally and provincially. The reopening of bars and restaurants in Quebec has led to an increase in the amount of women asking for rape kits in the eastern townships, according to the CALACS Aggression Estuary, known in English as the Help Center Fighting Against Sexual Assault. This organization helps women and girls from 12 years old and over who have been victims of sexual assault. This organization offers services of direct assistance for victims, prevention and awareness, and participating in political action. A spokesperson for this organization says the group has noticed a dramatic increase in the number of women coming to it for help since mid-February, which coincides with the reopening of bars and restaurants. The spokesperson said the number of women they have helped has tripled in the past 7 weeks. She said, and I quote, "Normally, we accompanied women who wanted to do these exams about once or twice a week, but since the reopening, we accompany women many times per week, 3 to 4 times more. We see both really increasing since the last lifting of measures. About 3/4 of the victims that we met had gone out to a bar or restaurant before they were assaulted. Just last weekend, she accompanied 3 women to the hospital in less than 24 hours. It worries us a lot," she said, noting that most victims they've helped have been young women. The medical exams are done at 2 hospitals in our local region, the Fleurmont Hospital and the Granby Hospital. The Eastern Townships Public Health Authority, the CIUSSS de l'Estrie, confirmed that it has received 21 requests for rape kits since the start of February. In an email, the health authority warned that this number might be an underestimate because victims might decide to use other services without asking for a kit. The health authority says it offers different services for those who have been sexually assaulted, including psychological support, and ensures that the person has a safe place to go once their consultation is over. The spokesperson for this organization said that it was important for people to intervene if they see someone who looks uncomfortable or who is being touched or harassed. The situations we've seen recently are happening in public spaces and the citizens don't intervene, she said, saying that the worst can happen is that we worry for nothing and we offer our support to someone who doesn't need it. At Bishop's University, a student who has been outspoken about the sexual violence on his campus, Jeremy Odette, said he was saddened to hear that the number of sexual assaults had increased in the region. But he mentioned that he's noticed more students are taking action when they feel a situation seems off. He said, even if the cases are going up, the response is increasing as well. It's no longer being swept under the rug. Survivors are allowed to feel empowered. He said that that shift started happening last fall after his university, Bishop's University in Lenoxville, faced criticism for not doing more to stop a culture of rape on campus. As such, BU has promised change after these protests, including an investigation from an external group into the policies of the university. And BU has also recently adopted REES, an online platform for reporting sexual violence outside the campus policies. I know very much that this report can be triggering for some. Indeed, there are many resources for you. There's a provincial crisis line called the Sexual Assault Crisis Line, and it can be reached at 1-888-933-9007. And there's also the local CALACS-ESTRI, the organization that I've been talking about today, and they can be reached at 1-877-563-0793. I wanted to highlight this increase in requests for rape kits, as well as the resources available, because the responsibility to protect the women and people of our community falls on all of our shoulders. I encourage you to consider your own actions, what you can do to help those around you, as well as noting the resources available to you, just so you're aware of the facilities here for you and your loved ones. And that's all I have for you today. This is my 10th and last broadcast of my time as the Nicholas Bachand intern for Bishop's University. I've had such an incredible time researching these segments, writing, recording, and editing them. And I want to personally thank everyone listening, as well as my supervising professor, Dr. Robbins Cantor, and finally, the station managers here, David and Maureen. I've had such a fantastic time, and it's all thanks to you. So, here we are, my final sign-off. This is Rhiannon with CJMQ 88.9 FM, and thank you so, so much for tuning in.
Closing time, open all the doors and let you out into the world. Closing time, turn all of the lights on over.